Isn't this a sports show?
Chad, I can only imagine in response to us singing the Bananas in Pajamas theme song, said there's a reason other shows don't do it. It's a sports show. Or at least I thought it was.
Almost entirely.
Well, that was your first mistake. It's almost entirely sports.
That's the name of the show!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my tombstone. He died with a great shirt, a great watch, and a great haircut.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
There's podcasts of this bleep everywhere.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
There is a type of person that just loves this show. We just have to find a few of them.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled nonsense to talk about Marcus Peters. Andy Reid suspends... Beards, get out of my way. Andy Reid suspends Marcus Peters for a game today, and that's where we're gonna start the show. I know it's very serious and very sportsy. And I'm not mad about the suspension. At least that's not the thing I'm most frustrated with right now. I just want you to hear me out today. I just want you to hear very... Please listen closely to the next, 10 minutes of conversation. And then you can go back into autopilot and you just let me play in the background while you, clean your house or walk your dog or whatever it is that you do. In fact, also, here, really quick diversion. If you're either in the comments on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page or to me on Twitter at JB Briscoe, what do you do while you listen to the show? I'm expecting funny answers. If you have a good answer, great. But,
cocaine.
But if you say, what do you do while you listen to the show? Cocaine. That's a good answer.
Eat carrots.
Perfect. But so Marcus Peters gets suspended for a game by Andy Reid, not by the NFL, but by Andy Reid today. And we will talk about the suspension itself in a minute. But also, first, a precursor to the precursors, I'm not here to spew out hot takes. Not today. Not on this topic today. I'm not trying to peer behind a curtain that none of us can actually see through. I just want to talk about a way that this gets interpreted and where we go from here. Where the Chiefs go from here and what went behind this move for Andy Reid. The first thing I saw whenever the news came out today was the idea that Andy Reid was sending a message to his disheveled locker room. And I think that is an irresponsible extension of what Andy Reid actually did. Andy Reid did not suspend Marcus Peters for the sake of the rest of the team. That's not what happened. Andy Reid didn't do this to send a message to the locker room. What would that message have been? If Andy Reid was doing this to send a message to the locker room, what would the message have been? All right, guys, listen, if you throw a flag into the stands, you are going to sit. Or if you walk out, if you walk off the sidelines into the tunnel because you thought you got ejected and then come back without your socks on, you are going to sit.
Can't have those feet getting injured by not wearing socks and getting blisters.
No one was going to do that. No one was going to fling a flag in the stands or storm off in a temper tantrum with the assumption that there would be no consequences. It's not a realistic thing to assume. I assumed in the moment that Marcus Peters would face some sort of consequences from Andy Reid. Again, we'll talk about the severity of the consequence in a second. We can debate the suspension, but how would this serve as some sort of rallying cry at this point? How would this bring together a scattered locker room? Marcus Peters isn't why the Chiefs are 1-6. And listen, I understand. Dumb move, consequence for it. Fine with me. I'm not going to fight any of that. But I don't see how this would be prescriptive for the rest of the team. Does that make sense? This seems to be a very specific suspension of Marcus Peters for a summary of Marcus Peters-related issues. I don't think that's going to mean anything to anybody else. And somebody on Twitter said, well, it sends a message to the rest of the team. What message? What message would that send to the rest of the team? Again, this is not an argument against the suspension. Just us trying to figure out why there was a suspension. What message is it sending? Don't throw a flag in the stands. Don't have several small incidents pile up over a course of 3 years. And again, not even talking about the merit of the suspension yet. I'm just asking what this would mean to the rest of the team, because I think that's kind of a silly narrative. Somebody else is going to say, well, it's a leadership issue. Bottom line, it starts with poor on-field body language and culminates in a ridiculous but hilarious incident with officials. When you're that good of a player, you have to be held to a higher standard. Agreed. That is pretty much just like, that's something everyone's going to agree on, right? Your leaders shouldn't be throwing flags into the stands. Shouldn't be walking off without being formally ejected. I get it. Yeah, sure, that's fine. I'm not fighting you there. And it's fine logic for suspending Marcus Peters. But why would anyone else feel threatened by that? Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, maybe a couple character concerns, a couple of attitude concerns. They were both great last week. Justin Houston's not an effort concern in any way, shape, or form. Who else on this team is on Peters' level as a star outside of Justin Houston, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce? Kareem Hunt, maybe? No issues there. No one is on that level. So this doesn't mean anything to anyone else. Curtis Siebold of 810 tweeted and said, you know, but the team is playing as if their collective head is in its own bleep, and that is part of the reason they're 1-6. Reed may feel that this addresses that, whether it will is up for debate. And I understand what you are looking for there as a logic jump, but I don't understand how that would translate. You say, oh, Marcus Peters has done several dopey things recently. If you also do several dopey things, I'm going to take it seriously. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the only two guys on this roster who have the obvious potential to have a streak like that, and they've been great recently. And again, this is a weird... I know this is a weird place to start in this conversation, because I'm guessing everybody else today has been talking about the merits of the suspension. Too much, not enough, what's next? I just wanted to start by saying this is not a move to win back the locker room. I don't think the locker room was getting lost by Andy Reid. And if it was, this isn't going to fix it. This is out of concern that Marcus Peters was being lost by Andy Reid. And out of the hopes that this does something to amend that. Eddie tweeted and he said, even Kelce's cleaned up his act. He seemed to get the message. I hope there wasn't a better way to get the message across. And this is why I think this happened today. Reed never made an example out of Travis Kelce, right? Talked about him, said they handled some stuff, they talked. He never, quote, unquote, made an example out of Travis Kelce. And Travis Kelce seems to have settled in now. I think this is about Andy Reed feeling like Marcus Peters needed a tangible punishment rather than him being used to teach the team some sort of existential lesson. I don't think that this was a sacrificial lamb to scare the whole team. Marcus Peters is better than that, and the team isn't having some sort of larger lesson taught him. Oh, Andy Reid's going to take this seriously now. This isn't about the team. It's about Marcus Peters specifically. It's about Reed addressing Peters. I don't think it means anything to the rest of the locker room. Other than maybe the leaders in the locker room who Reed talked to before officially suspending Peters. He said he had apparently made his decision before talking to the leadership in the locker room, whatever that means. He wouldn't give specifics today. And maybe those guys are glad that Reed, you know, took their input or whatever. But those aren't the guys you're worried about. Because if that's Derek Johnson and Justin Houston and Alex Smith. You're not worried about those guys throwing a flag into the stands. So I just think it's solely about Marcus Peters. Solely and directly. This is not about using Marcus Peters as a conduit to send a message to the rest of the team. Which, on the negative side, I guess I should point out, this doesn't make me feel any better about where the Chiefs are going right now, directionally. I don't think the Chiefs are going to come out on Sunday as a more unified team, because I don't even really think that that matters. I think this team is less talented than we thought they were, so they have more problems. But I don't expect this to fix any team problems. I hope it affects Marcus Peters in a way wherever he realizes, all right, my actions do have these severe consequences, and I need to be focused on every play. I need to not be throwing flags into the stands. I need to get my temper under control. I need to not trot out whenever I think I'm being ejected. I hope this helps all of that stick to Marcus Peters. I really do. Because I want him to play and not be suspended. I just don't think it has anything to do with the rest of the team. So on the suspension itself, you've got to discipline a player for doing a dumb thing. I understand that. But this is where this one gets really tricky. This is a direct and a heavy blow to the Chiefs' chances against Oakland and the Chiefs' chances to make the playoffs. You can't tell me that you like this decision until you see the defense on Sunday. If Peters is replaced okay and the Chiefs win, really, frankly, if the Chiefs just win, if the Chiefs beat the Raiders on Sunday, then you can say whatever you want about this act of discipline that Andy Reid has doled out. But if this is a game where Derek Carr blows up, as I would assume at this point he will, and the Chiefs lose by giving up 35, 40 points. Maybe the offense just can't keep up because Carr can't be stopped. Then you're going to wonder, well, now the Chiefs are 6-7 in second or third place in the division and probably not going to make it back. This team is no longer a playoff team. When they had it, right now, the Chiefs very much have a chance. The Chiefs and the Raiders and the Chargers all have virtually equal chances to win the AFC West at this point. I'm not very excited because right now the Chiefs make me sad and apathetic. But it's on the table. That's the reason that we've gotten for the Chiefs not moving to Pat Mahomes, remember? Oh, as long as they're still a playoff team, they're not going to move to the rookie. Well, now they've benched their best corner, arguably their best defensive player, because Eric Berry is out. They've benched him in a must-have game. This is to keep the Raiders behind you in the standings. It's to hold on to your tiebreaker against the Raiders. This is important. I wouldn't have suspended him for this game. Like, oh, well, where do you draw the line? You're not going to suspend him? You're going to let him run roughshod over the team? Well, no. This is the one place where I have to admit that I don't know what Andy Reid has said and done so far. Because if Andy Reid was absolutely at his wit's end with Marcus Peters, and this was the last thing you could think of, the last bullet in his revolver, then I understand why he shot it. Because you don't want to just let what happened on Sunday be a complete non-fact, completely swept under the rug. I get it. But if you really are out here trying to build a playoff team, which is the whole point, by the way, the Chiefs don't exist as a franchise to bring in troubled cornerbacks and then to turn them out as more patient human beings. The Chiefs exist to make the playoffs and win playoff games. That is their purpose. I'm sorry if you're just now learning that the NFL isn't here for the purpose of making better people. If that's the main concern, you'd better be really, really confident that the suspension for Marcus Peters is going to do something to him, to where you're going to be set up better for the future with him. But you're 6-6 right now. You're 6-6, and you've got a divisional game coming up. I don't know how Peters is going to respond. I know what happened on Sunday wasn't good. I know you want to do something to show him that this is problematic. Maybe it's not letting him be a captain against the Raiders, which I'm thinking he probably always has been because he's from Oakland. Maybe it's not letting him start, keeping him out the first drive. Give him a Baker Mayfield. Oh, can you imagine if Marcus Peters on the sideline grabbed this junk and yelled bleep you across the field? Oh, my goodness. This building would implode upon itself. Can you imagine the post-game show after that game the next Monday morning?
No, I don't want to imagine that.
I mean, it would just be what happened last week, I guess.
No, it would be worse. It'd be worse.
Would it be worse than taking a flag and throwing it into the stands?
Yes.
It might be. It might be.
Like, it would be so bad that Gary wouldn't be the first. He wouldn't even be in the first five callers. Everybody else would rush in to beat him.
It's a very good joke for literally people who work here.
And people that listen to the show.
Whatever. And listen, again, you definitely can't just run off the field and leave your job. I get it. That's an easy one. That's a layup. We all understand that. But he also ran off the field with a Chiefs employee. It seemed pretty clear that he thought that he was ejected, in my humblest of opinions. It's still dumb. It's just not quite the same thing as going AWOL. It's splitting hairs, but I think it's worth splitting those hairs because you're trying to discipline the exact action. And I know it's a pattern of behaviors. I get it. I understand. But this team, which was a defensive disaster last week against Josh McCown, AFC Air Player of the Week, or maybe it's AFC Player of the Week, nominated for the FedEx Air Player Award.
He's now in the MVP discussion.
Award-winning Josh McCown. You're now going into this game this week as if you're gonna stop Derek Carr with Darrell Revis, Terrence Mitchell, Philip Gaines, Steven Nelson, and Kenneth Acker.
Unrelated. Does anybody want my Oakland tickets?
I mean, I'd rather watch the game in Oakland. I would rather just hop on a plane, fly out to Oakland, and just pick a random sports bar and watch it in Oakland. Then go to the game at Arrowhead. I understand there's a lot of levels here and a lot of things that everyone's very sensitive about. I know. But I don't think you can suspend him as a 6-6 team when this next game is so important. I don't think you can do it. And you got to figure out how you're going to handle your business and do it in a way that doesn't directly hurt the team. Maybe there's a counterpoint of like, well, his actions hurt the team. It cost them nothing last week. Literally nothing.
It's not quite on the scale of Kobe just deciding not to shoot the ball for a half
a playoff game. Your analogies are so freaking weird, man.
I know.
Like this is a super harmful choice to the team and to the Chiefs' chances of making the playoffs, which, again, as we're constantly reminded, is the point. And sure, it's a long game and whatever. I get it. I understand trying to do something to get through to Marcus Peters. But you know, even then, like, he didn't throw a flying elbow into the back of somebody's head like Rob Gronkowski. Or knock out and then taunt someone like Juju Smith-Schuster, who still should have been suspended, but I digress. And Matt Verderam on Twitter said, if the Chiefs somehow play well and win on Sunday, maybe 10% chance, people are going to have hot takes about Marcus Peters come Monday. And I think Matt's not giving people enough credit here. You people, enough credit here. If the Chiefs give up less than 50 points, and Terrence Mitchell and Darrell Revis and Kenneth Acker and Philip Gaines don't get literally torched by, like, actual fire on Sunday, there are going to be some hot takes about Marcus Peters on Monday. I mean, just anything. Anything other than literal fire. Then Terrence Mitchell getting turned into literal toast. It'll be spicy on Monday. And also, I'd like to say now, if that does happen, I'll get ahead of it. We're right now on a Wednesday. I'll tell you now on a Wednesday before you get to your takes on Monday. If the Chiefs do win on Sunday, your Marcus Peters takes are stupid already. Definitively. But it hasn't happened yet. They're dumb. I can hear them. I hear your takes. They are stupid. There is not a world in which knocking Marcus Peters off of your depth chart and then leaving that spot to Philip Gaines, which promotes Kenneth Acker, which promotes Steven Nelson, which promotes 47-year-old Darrell Revis, which promotes Terrence Mitchell, who got benched weirdly for like four games this year. There is no world in which that depth chart move is good for your team. I promise you. Maybe by some miracle the Chiefs get through it on Sunday. It will be in spite of not having Marcus Peters, not because they don't have Marcus Peters. Trust me, please.
Basically, it would take the Chiefs scoring like 80 points.
I don't know. Dude, it's football. It's the NFL. Maybe the Raiders will score 17 points this weekend. Who knows? And the Chiefs will lose 17-14. Because they're going...
No, that can totally happen.
They're going to find the banana peel. 100%. It's amazing. We're in an amazing place in this Chiefs season. We're going to talk about this year forever. I mean, this is worse than whatever that last collapse was the Chiefs had, because they were beating backup quarterbacks the whole time. Quarterbacks just kept getting hurt the week before they played the Chiefs. So the Chiefs kept playing backup quarterbacks and banged up teams and bad teams. And then they took a nosedive. This year, they start off by beating the Patriots and the Eagles. Like, I mean, it's completely bonkers.
The Patriots that everybody thought would go 16-0.
Yeah. The Eagles, who have already clinched a playoff spot. That's how the Chiefs started this year, beating the Patriots and the Eagles. And now we're here, and I feel like I'm standing on the edge of a bridge. Just with one single like broadsword, and there are just like 100,000 orcs just running at me, screeching about Marcus Peters, and how he's the worst, and how he should be traded to the Browns, and how he should be cut yesterday, and how he should stand up for the damn anthem, and how the Chiefs should fire Andy Reid, and how Alex Smith is actually a god. And I'm just standing at the end of this bridge, holding this sword, thinking about flinging myself off of the edge of it. It's the worst.
You know what the great thing is, though?
I wanted to go to break.
I know, but I had a joke. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what's coming in behind all those orcs, though? On a white horse? Mahomes.
Oh, God, the horse broke its leg. Oh, no!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Pierre, did you ever work a customer service job?
No.
That makes sense.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're kind of a douche.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The best thing about my day is the fact that I know I can always go back to the mobile Animal Crossing game. Like, it's always at least... It's going to give me some amount of soothing as everything else comes crashing down around me. I know Twitter's always mad, but man, this bad stretch of Chiefs football has been really like rock bottom. Like I mentioned, the direct blow to the playoff chances by cutting Marcus Peters, and somebody responded like, "Oh God, oh no, suspending Marcus Peters." I said cutting, Freudian slip. Sorry, I was trying to give some apples and oranges to my horse friend. I tweeted about suspending Marcus Peters being a direct blow to the Chiefs' playoff chances, and someone just snapped back, going, "A direct blow to their playoff chances was losing to all three New York teams."
You're not wrong there.
I'm going to just like his tweet.
Person.
This is an interesting perspective from Myron, or Myrone. I still haven't figured it out. So either way, most of these fans will spin it that he let the whole team down and his actions or reaction led to the loss. This is so stupid. Spin the best defensive back on the squad. Find him, run him. He needs to play, though. If you genuinely do care about making the playoffs, this is the right take. Like, I know you might like it or whatever. You might be glad that he finally was punished for something because you don't like him, which is an overwhelmingly popular take. But this is a good call. He is right. Someone, if the Chiefs lose, it's going to be, well, Marcus Peters let the whole team down by getting himself suspended. That's why the Chiefs lost. Wait a minute, this is on Andy Reid. Andy Reid chose to suspend Marcus Peters. Or maybe Clark Hunt did. I don't know. One of those two, though. It's those dudes. No one else is even in that conversation. It's not like Peters got suspended by the league, which would have even let there be some a little more wiggle room. This is gonna get turned back on Peters no matter what happens. I think it's a really interesting perspective. And so now you can look ahead to the game this week, and I mean, you just have to feel atrocious. I feel atrocious. I was already worried about this game because you can't feel confident about anything while you're in the middle of a 1-6 stretch. At this point, I started saving characters on Twitter by just saying that the Chiefs are 1-6. Because, like, really, it's true. Like, I'm not even being overdramatic. In their last 7 games, they're 1-6. This isn't a bad streak anymore. Also, I think earlier I might have given the Chiefs a win to the Raiders earlier this season. I apologize if I did say that, because they obviously lost on Thursday Night Football. I don't know. Maybe I was getting ahead to the Chargers game. I don't know what happened. I just saw, like, the red L next to at Raiders. I was like, yeah, of course that happened. Wait a second. Did I say that they needed a two? Because the Chiefs do have the tiebreaker over the Raiders right now in the standings, but they lost to the Raiders head-to-head. And I don't know why that is. It must be down to another tiebreaker where the Chiefs have an advantage somewhere.
I think it was on post-game show, I think I remember them saying it was something about how it was their record versus the division was better than the others.
I thought it was a head-to-head thing.
I don't know.
At that point. Maybe it is a division.
I remember hearing that. I don't know if it's true. Obviously, I'm the perfect source for all right. NFL information and rules.
Interesting. Well, Seth Walder of ESPN's analytics said the Chiefs' chance to reach the playoffs would drop to 29% with a loss to the Raiders this week.
From what? 30%?
62.
Really?
Right now they have a 62% chance to make the playoffs and 58% chance to win the AFC West.
Have they been watching the Chiefs?
It's just ESPN's analytics. I don't know how they work. And a 1% chance to win the Super Bowl. Which actually has been their chance of winning the Super Bowl since the season started. And has never changed. But, so I was already worried about this game, obviously, because the Chiefs not only keep losing, they keep losing in different ways. So, they lose to the Giants and Bills because they cannot score points. They lose to the Jets because they cannot stop Josh McCown. Josh McCown put up 38 points last week. 38 points. I know the Raiders' defense is bad. This is why I was looking forward to this game for a while. The Raiders' defense is bad, which means, all right, a chance for an offensive shock to the heart. And it feels like it doesn't matter now. Because not only are you running in with a completely limp defense, you're also doing it with a defensive game. You're now playing. Think about this. You're now playing against the Oakland Raiders with the defense that gave up 38 points to Josh McCown, and you've taken away their best player. Second best with Justin Houston, I guess. Houston has been quiet also. One of two actual good players. I mean, that's got to make you queasy, right? It does for me, at least. And I know Derek Carr hasn't been perfect this year. I know Marshawn Lynch isn't a great running back anymore. I know they have, you know, their issues by way of Amari Cooper's injuries and Michael Crabtree's fighting. By the way, also, I just, they're replaying the Marcus Peters running off of the field thing on PTI. He gave his gloves to a kid on his way out. He thought he was ejected. Because then he came running back in without the socks and with new gloves on. He obviously thought he was being ejected from the game. Throwing the flag, still dumb, but he didn't go absent without leave. He thought he was being thrown out. And whenever he found out he wasn't thrown out, he came back in. Just to clarify that. I would be stunned for him to say anything to the alternative whenever he does speak again. But you're a desperate team in a playoff race, and now you've hurt your chances substantially in this next game, which you need to have. They've needed to have several of these last several games, and they've lost all of them, so it's not a great feeling. And so, you know, sure, the Chiefs could score 30 points again. I'm guessing that the Raiders have probably given up more points than, like, the Jets have this year. Imperfect measurements and all. But I would rather face the Raiders' defense than the Jets' defense, if you wanted to put that in a vacuum. I'm sure the Chiefs would feel like they have a chance to score a bunch of points. But I just can't, I cannot find... After today, after suspending Marcus Peters, I cannot find an optimistic breath in my lungs. For this week, for the season, like right now. I think... I told you last week that I thought if I had to pick, I would have said that the Jets would win, or the Chiefs would have beaten the Jets last week. I thought they'd beat the Bills, I thought they'd beat the Giants. I think I might have even picked them to beat the Cowboys. I don't know. I've been wrong a lot lately, obviously. I now look at this game, and I think this is the I think today is the first moment of me going, you know what? Gun to my head, I don't think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, and that is a very sad place to be. Peters is out this week. The Chiefs cannot be making you feel very confident in the effort that's going to come around. The defense has lost you games. The offense has lost you games. And just a continuation of a very, very dark time. As Beards pointed out last segment, eventually Pat Mahomes comes riding in on a great white horse.
Using his bow to shoot from a distance.
Yes. Yes, long-range attacks. And then eventually, like, he's going to get hit with an actual arrow. Like, so, like, I'll just, like, tailgate. He's gonna be, like, walking into the stadium, and somebody dressed up with a bunch of arrows, because, you know, Arrowhead and all of that good stuff, right? Somebody culturally appropriating is going to accidentally shoot him with an arrow. And that's gonna be the end of all of the joy we've ever had.